My sermon today is called Enemies Camp, and that's what Chris and I did and our kids this weekend. We got to go away to Shenango. We went camping. Anybody like to camp in here? We are not very good campers, I will admit. We're trying to get better, but we're not very sufficient. We typically set up to next to friends who have a camper and all the things because we're not great at it yet, but we are getting there. So I wanted to open with like a funny little story. When we went camping, I had packed our cooler with all these things, and my hubby made me some coffee in the morning, and it was great. But he's like, you might want to stir that up a little bit. It looks a little weird, the creamer in it. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. I mean, it's just cold, like when you keep it in a fridge. Well, I had made broccoli salad, and I kept the dressing separate. And I had also brought the creamer. Well, my great husband served me my coffee with some broccoli salad dressing. And so it was mayonnaise and apple cider vinegar and, you know, honey. And yeah, thankfully, I noticed that something was terribly wrong and didn't actually end up drinking it. But it got poured out. So but camping is fun. And I don't know, this is just something the Lord has laid in my heart this year. If you want to go to the next slide, I hope you're in your word. I hope you're in the Bible every day. I am so excited about the Bible. I don't know. I'm doing this thing called the Bible recap. If any of you need like a new idea, like just a new way to go through the Bible, this has been just changing my life. It's on the Bible app. She recaps, Tara Lee Cobble, she recaps what you read for the day and just brings out all these elements that I never thought of. You know, that I never heard before. And it is amazing how every story and most of the stories point to Jesus. If you look for Jesus in the Bible, you are gonna find him everywhere, even before he was born. It is incredible. So this has been changing me and challenging me. And it has, if I'm being honest, it has been a really tough year. Like a really tough year. And I know many of you have had a tough year. And you've needed Jesus, and I've needed Jesus. So I'm thankful that when I open the Bible, I see him, and I feel him, and I know he's there. So, but there are times when I open my Bible, and I look at my life, and I look at the world around me, and I think to myself, this is not how it's supposed to be. Have you ever thought that? You look at the school shootings. You look at the depression, the anxiety, the social media. You look at how families are just disintegrating right and left, marriages dissolving, you know, babies dying. It's, something's not right. It's not what I read in scripture. I'm not experiencing that victory in my own life, and I'm not seeing it around me. And I want that to change. I don't know about you. I want that to change. And that's where this message kind of became born in me, this Enemies Camp message. So from the very beginning, when we read in scripture, God's creation and his purposes are good. From the very beginning, what did he say? He made this and it was good. He made this and it was good. He made this and it was good. Any teenagers in the room know what the Hebrew word for good is? Ivy, do you know? Yeah, girl, she remembered. I'm so proud of you. So I went to a girls' retreat, and I got to lead worship, and my friend Heather was the speaker, and she introduced me to this word, tov. It's the Hebrew word for good, and it just blew my mind. The word tov is so much more than good. It carries a profound meaning that extends far more than just the simple English translation of good. It signifies something that fulfills its intended purpose. It's functional. It's aligned with its divine design. It just drips with purpose, this word. And you drip with purpose. Actually, the same word, tov, is used when it says he finds a wife, finds a good thing. A functional, I mean, it's the way God designed it. It just drips with purpose. It's so functional. It's so purposeful, the way. When it says goodness and mercy will follow after me all the days of my life, that's the word used. Tov. Say it out loud. Tov, right? It's so much more than good. It's like, it just explodes with purpose. And so there's actually a Hebrew couple that embraced Christianity and blogged about this word tav. They wanted to help us better understand the richness of the Hebrew language and the meaning behind that word. This is their quote. Tav is arguably one of the richest words out there. The explosive power in tav can be felt right from the beginning. It's like when you plant a seed, and somehow from that one seed, who knows the limit of what could happen? Like, it's a multiplying word. It's more than just good. We think ice cream is good. We think, you know, what is good? God is more than good. Everything he does is purposeful, intentional. It's good. So if that can just help set the table for what we're going to talk about today, just nod your head if you understand. Tav, it's so much more than good. Yes. So thank you, Pastor Heather, if she ever watches this, for introducing me to that word. Because that has, from the beginning, been God's purpose and his creation. Now, we all know there's an enemy to that goodness, right? The enemy, Satan, wants to corrupt and fracture Tav. He wants to disrupt the functionality of God's good design. Does he not? That doesn't change God's intentions at all. But there is a new player. When you're camping, what do you deal with sometimes? Bugs. Yes, mosquitoes. I hate those things. Like you spray all the stuff on and it's gross and it's sticky and it smells bad. And you still get eaten alive. I mean, at least I do. So when you're camping, there's bugs. And Barry Bennett, a speaker that I like, he said, when you turn on the light, you attract bugs. And the brighter the light, the bigger the bugs. How many of you know there's a target on your back? When you start experiencing God's goodness and you want to share the gospel, you want to tell your friends, you want to tell your testimony, you're working with the youth, you're singing on the worship team, you're doing all these things, there's a target on your back. There's bugs, right? And the bigger the brighter the light, the bigger the bugs sometimes. But John 10:10, we all know the scripture. But I was looking into it a little bit in the NLT, and I love this version. We say the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. This version said the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. This is not just something he comes to do. It's literally his purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, my purpose, this is what I came to do. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. So squash the bugs. That's the enemy's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. So to steal is to invade. It's to seize. It's to carry away another's property. And Matthew 11:12 in the NIV says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence. And violent people have been, let's say it together, raiding it, right? Stealing, okay? Raiding it, stealing from it. Doesn't change God's purposes, doesn't change his intentions. This is just what the enemy comes to do. It's literally his purpose. So God was just speaking to me, you know, in the middle of this tough year. You don't mind if the enemy takes off with something if you don't already view it as yours. If I found, you know, $20 on the side of the road, you guys would be, oh, good for you. But if it was yours and you dropped the $20, you're like, oh, that's mine. Let me tell you a funny story. I don't remember what year this was, but I think we maybe had Nolan at the time. But Chris used to work at Seneca Printing, and he had a gray car. Well, his boss comes in and he looks all down and he's like, does anybody have a black car here? Well, Chris didn't speak up because he didn't have a black car. So he was, you know, just let it, whatever. Well, it was a gray car. When it's yours, you mind, don't you? Well, the semi, could you go ahead and put that next slide up? The semi had taken not a big enough turn and had totally sideswiped Chris's car. You can see the rear windshield there is completely shattered. Everything. I mean, but when it was a black car, it didn't matter, right? Because it wasn't Chris's. But this is a gray car, and this was Chris's car. Now, he wasn't, my husband is, like, super chill. I'm sure you all have figured that out by now. He wasn't upset, but it makes a difference, doesn't it, when it's yours? And the enemy doesn't want you to take ownership of the things around you that God's put in your, like, in your boundary, right? He doesn't want you to realize that's mine, and I'm bothered if you mess with it. I'm upset. So what is ours? What is mine? Anything God gives me or has promised in his word, this is all, now this isn't like gimme, gimme, gimme kind of thing. This is all received and appreciated through grace and faith and relationship. It's not earned, but it's entrusted, right? It's entrusted to us. Our health, our marriage, our children, our finances, my peace. I can protect that, right? I can be upset if the enemy tries to take off with my peace and I can't sleep at night. Shouldn't I be upset about that? That's mine in Christ Jesus. Your joy. Anybody had the enemy take off with some joy this year? Come on. Your time. What about the innocence of our children? When the enemy tries to steal that, I get a little upset. Okay? A lot upset, yes. Why? Because that's mine. It's not only entrusted to me, it's promised to me in God's word. Through relationship, through faith, through grace. So if you're not paying attention, the enemy's going to trespass. You know, Chris and I have had some struggles in our marriage. We have had a baby that has been diagnosed with something that just blew our minds. There's been violence against the kingdom. That first verse we read, there's been violence. There's been raiding. What about the church? Has the church's influence grown? I don't know. It used to be everything happened around the church. Like, everybody went to church on Sundays. You know, if the church had something on, you didn't schedule games, and you didn't do this, and you didn't do that ever. So tell me the truth. Is the church really... Are we gaining ground, or does it seem like we're losing ground? Is the enemy trying to trespass there? No, I want to be clear about this. It is an attack on Tav, but you're not less spiritual because an attack comes. You do not have a lack of faith because something tries to come on you. It's just the bug. You're camping, there's going to be bugs, okay? So please don't go judging people's hardships. Encourage them. Encourage them with God's word. And that's what I'm trying to do for us today, because I need to hear this too. So you're not less spiritual because an attack comes, because you have a prodigal, because some sickness is trying to come on you. That's not a lack of faith. My favorite verse in the whole Bible, John 16:33. This is my favorite verse. In this world, you will have trouble, right? You will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. I love that. Oh, I love that. My favorite verse. Yes, we win. But, so, you know, you don't have a lack of faith. You're not less spiritual because you're being attacked or the enemy is trying to trespass. But learning to resist the enemy is key in a Christian's life. Key. James 4:7 says, resist the enemy and he will flee. I like that. Resist the enemy and he will flee. Our example, Jesus in the wilderness, Satan comes to tempt him. And, you know, and what does Jesus do? It is written. It is written. It is written. You know what he's saying? No, no, no. Learn to say no when the enemy comes against you. Learn to resist him because it's an attack on the kingdom. It's an attack on the kingdom in you, and it's against you. So just don't roll over. I encourage you, make no your favorite word when it comes to the lies of the enemy and his schemes. Make no your favorite word when it comes to him. And we sang a little bit about this morning, boundaries. I draw a permanent boundary line. The enemy has no right to come near my family. That's the song we sang. How many of you know that God cares about your camp, your boundaries, and what happens in it? Amen. I looked up a whole bunch of verses. The Bible talks all the time about land and boundaries and camps. 1 Chronicles 4:10. I don't have time to write these all out, but you can look them up or jot them down. Get this in your heart. He cares about your camp. He cares about your boundaries. 1 Chronicles 4:10 is the prayer of Jabez, and it talks about expansion. Lord, enlarge my territory. Because when the enemy's trying to trespass, if you're just like not paying attention, you look down and all of a sudden it seems like the markers have been moved in. Has that ever happened to anybody? You just let your guard down for a little bit and somebody's trespassing there. Something's happening. Psalm 16:6, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I like that. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Psalms 91:10. No evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague shall come near your tent. So tell me, does God care about your tent? Does he care about your boundaries? Yes. Proverbs 15:25. The Lord tears down the house of the proud. Somebody in the room's going to like this today. The Lord tears down the house of the proud, but he sets the widow's boundary stones in place. He doesn't let the enemy steal from her. Proverbs 22:28, don't cheat your neighbor by moving the ancient boundary markers set up by previous generations. God cares about boundaries. God cares about your camp. He cares about what's yours. So what happens when the enemy crosses that boundary? It's unsettling when someone breaks in. Anybody ever had somebody break into your house? That's unsettling. All of a sudden, what was like a safe place doesn't quite feel the same. There's been a shift. All of a sudden, what was safe isn't safe anymore. This happened to us last June. Remember when I told you it's been a rough year? We're just getting started, but God's got the victory. Last June, our home was broken into. And I didn't really say a lot. I didn't post it on Facebook. I didn't want to embarrass anybody, that kind of a thing. But it was unsettling. Because when we got home, we were at my aunt's surprise birthday party. And we get home, and the garage doors open a little bit. And we start walking up towards the house, and there's some tools, and there's some gloves. And I'm just like, what is going on? And then we look at the door, and it's been shattered. And at that point, we call the police because we know something has happened that wasn't supposed to happen. So the boys and I come to the church. This is our second home, right? Where else do you go? We live 5 minutes away. We come to church, and Nolan and Miles are upset. Somebody broke into their home. They don't feel safe. At this point, we don't know who it is. We don't know like what their intent was. We don't know what's missing. We just know this was not right. So we're up at the church, and Nolan's drawing the crime scene. He drew all the tools, and he said he was going to show the police. And all of a sudden, I'm just like, anything that takes his mind off of it. We prayed. Chris was still down there waiting for the police and all this stuff. It was scary. We come to find out that actually it was just a kid in our neighborhood that wanted to see the inside of our house, I guess. I don't know. He went looking for my boys, and, you know, he just... I don't know what he was thinking, but that's what happened. $4,600 worth of damage. Windows, doors, paint, you know. Part of me was kind of relieved because it was a kid. At least I know it's not like a grown person with a gun and like I don't know what their intent was to harm us or anything like that. But I see it as violence against the kingdom. I know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm not upset with that little boy. But I know it was violence against the kingdom. It was the enemy trying to steal our peace, steal from us financially, $4,600. But this is where it gets exciting for me. Because nothing was ever done in the natural realm to make this right. Okay? Nothing. But because I don't wrestle against flesh and blood, I don't expect the justice to come through flesh and blood either. I said, Chris and I, we gave it to the Lord, and we were like, God, we know that you will find a way through a different avenue to restore, because that's what you do. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I know it. So more on that later. But we gave it to God, and we began to praise God that he was just going to bless us through another avenue. Because you don't blame the dark for being dark, do you? Danielle. Can you change that? Yeah. Oh, there's that scripture. We wrestle not. We are not. Oh, we're going on. Okay. Don't blame the dark for being dark. You blame the real enemy. The one who's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. The one whose purpose literally is to take you out and take you down. So while we don't get to control everything in our lives, I can control my declaration. I can worship. I can trust God. I can agree with his word. I can stand on his promises. Say no to the enemy when he tries to mess with me. Amen? So that all was like a very long beginning to what God has shown me about the enemy's camp. I am so excited. Are you ready? Let's get in the word. 1 Samuel 30 is where we're going to be. So in the Bible, there's all these types and shadows. And that's what I'm learning through the Bible recap. When you look at the life of Abraham and how he was promised a son, and then God asked him to sacrifice his son, and Isaac goes up the mountain with wood, and he's supposed to be the sacrifice, that's a type and shadow of Jesus. Jesus walked up a cross, or walked up a hill with wood, with a wooden cross. Do you see how you can see this all through the Bible? It's so exciting for me now that I know and kind of understand what to look for. In the Bible, a type is a person or event or an object in the Old Testament that foreshadows a greater reality, person or event in the New Testament, especially Jesus and his work. And a shadow is a metaphor, same concept, emphasizing the Old Testament elements. Those are only a faint outline or an imperfect representation, like the Passover lamb. That's an imperfect representation of the true reality found in Christ. Everybody understand? Not if you do. Yep. So good. I am looking for this everywhere now, and it's awesome. So here is the type that got me really excited. I read this the other day, and I just felt my spirit just go crazy. Because this is what we have in Christ. This is what he's done. 1 Samuel 30, 1 through 20. We're going to read this together. 3 days later, when David and his men arrived home at their town of Ziklag, they found that the Amalekites had made a raid into the Negev and Ziklag, and they had crushed Ziklag and burned it to the ground. They had carried off women and children and everyone else, but without killing anyone. When David and his men saw the ruins and realized what happened to their families, they wept until they could weep no more. Have you been there? David's two wives, Ahinoam from Jezreel, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal from Carmel, were among those captured. David was now in great danger because all his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters, and they had begun to talk of stoning him. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Or other versions say, David strengthened himself in the Lord. Then he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring me the ephod." And so Abiathar brought it. Then David asked the Lord, this is key, "Should I chase after this band of raiders? Will I catch them?" I'm not encouraging you to just go and just seek justice and just do this. Consult the Lord. That's what David did. He was like, should I go? Should I chase after them? Will I catch them? And the Lord responded. The Lord told him, yes, go after them. You will surely recover everything that was taken from you. You will surely recover everything that was taken from you. So David and his 600 men set out, and they came to the brook Besor. But 200 of the men were too exhausted to cross the brook, so David continued to pursue with 400 men. We're going to talk about that later. So he set out with 600. 200 of them are so tired, so exhausted, they can't even go on. So he leaves them there and goes on with the 400 men. And then I'm just going to summarize a little bit. They find an Egyptian man. He gives them information, and they're kind to him. And then picking it back up at verse 16. So he led David to them. They found the Amalekites spread out across the fields, eating and drinking and dancing with joy because of the vast amount of plunder they had taken from the Philistines and the land of Judah. David and his men rushed in among them and slaughtered them throughout the night and the entire day until evening. None of the Amalekites escaped except 400 young men who fled on camels. David got back everything the Amalekites had taken. What did he get back? Everything. Everything they had taken. He rescued his two wives. Verse 19, nothing was missing, small or great, son or daughter, nor anything else that had been taken. David brought everything back. He also recovered all the flocks and herds, and his men drove ahead of them on all the other livestock. This plunder belongs to David, they said, and we're going to stop there. We'll pick up with the rest of it later. But that, when I read that, that leapt out of me. Nothing was missing, small or great. Nothing was missing, small or great. And it got me really, really excited because the story is a type and shadow. David went to the enemy's camp in the Old Testament. Jesus went to the enemy's camp in the New Testament. Come on, somebody. He went to the enemy's camp in the New Testament. These scriptures connect to Jesus Christ through the theme of victory and inheritance. Just as David recovered everything, nothing missing, Jesus, through his death and resurrection, won the ultimate victory over sin and death and the enemy. In Colossians 2:15, it says that Jesus disarmed the powers and authority and shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Nothing missing, people. Nothing missing, small or great. This is our God. This is Jesus. So it's my next point, it's through Jesus that we get back everything that was stolen from us. I'm not going by myself to the enemy's camp. I don't trust myself. I don't trust my strength. I'm going to consult God. And it's through him that I get back everything that was stolen from me. He's given us his name. We talked about that today, Judy and Jim, the worship team. His name is higher. It's stronger than anything. And he's given us that name to use. He's given us everything we need. He's given us his promises, nothing missing, small or great. Revelation 1:18, I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Doesn't that sound like he went to the enemy's camp and took it back? If Satan doesn't own the keys to his own house, don't let him take the keys to your house. Amen? Draw that line. Enforce those boundaries. Romans 5:17, for if by the trespass of one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant power, provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life? Reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ. So it's through him. It's not on my own. It's not because I can do this or do that. It's not because I have grown up in church or did this or that. It's only through Jesus. It's only through him that I will reign in life. I like that. Anybody feel like they haven't been reigning lately? Been a little, you know, you just need a little pick-me-up. This will do it for you. The word of God will do it for you. You can reign in life through Jesus. Romans 8:35, overwhelming victory is ours. Say it with me. Through Christ. This is not a rainbows and butterflies sermon. I get that bad things happen. Remember, I told you it's been a year? I understand that. But if he came through before, he can do it again. I know that his intentions are good. I know that his purposes are good. I know the thoughts he thinks towards me are good. Amen. Romans 8:28, and we know God causes everything or all things to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. I don't know how. I don't always know what it's going to look like, but I know he causes everything to work together, everything. Psalms 27:13, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Confident of that. I remain confident of that. So don't put a period where God is trying to put a comma. Maybe he's just not done yet. In 1 year, we got our house broken into with all those damages. Chris lost his job. And we had our youngest son diagnosed with epilepsy in just 2024. It was a tough year. But I'm not going to put a period where God is putting a comma. And let me tell you about what he's done. This is so good. I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful. I'm sorry. I'm so thankful for what he's doing. That he's not done. That he's a good God. That his purposes and his plans are good. Tov. Totally intentional. Totally purposeful. Totally functional. So when Chris lost his job, it was a few months. He was working for the church, doing all this stuff around the church because he had all this time. And I just knew God was going to bless him with something even better. And when he finally got his new job, they started him higher, and he's already gotten a raise. It's actually 24% higher than it was at his last job. Do you think I'm missing that $2,000 that the homeowners insurance didn't pay? Because they gave us a check, but the $2,000 deductible was supposed to be paid by the people who broke into our house. Do you think I'm missing that? Are you missing that, Chris? No, because God fills the gaps. He's good. Everything he does is good. When our son had those seizures in our house, and they're like, yeah, your son has epilepsy, there was something in me that just disagreed with that. We put him on the medicine. We did, you know, we watched all the things. We did all the stuff. But there was something in me that's like, watch. I know God's going to do something. I know he's not going to have to not be able to drive and not do all the things. I know God. I know his tov. I know his goodness. That was in March of last year. He hasn't had a seizure since April, and we just keep downing the medicine. We just keep taking him off the medicine. And I know, not because the doctors say, not because this, not because that. There's something in me that knows that God is working in him. He knows it. That's what's exciting to me. It's not just something that we're telling him. He knows God. He knows God, his healer. He's almost completely off that medicine. Chris got his job, and our home is fine. Everything is okay. Like, because through Jesus, I have victory. I don't care what comes my way. I don't care what storm comes. I'm standing on a rock that can't be moved. Don't leave your stuff in the enemy's camp. Don't expect a problem through your life, no. But come to expect the presence and the promises of God to sustain you completely, to bring victory. He's not a genie. He's so much better than that. He's Almighty God. Through Jesus, he shares his victory and tells me I can reign in life. Reign in life. So what's in the enemy's camp that rightfully belongs to you? Think about it. I want you to think about it. Close your eyes. Think about what's in the enemy's camp that rightfully belongs to you. Maybe it's your health or your marriage, your children, your finances, your peace, your joy, your time, your innocence. Your children's innocence, so many other things. I believe God's speaking to you right now, what's sitting in the enemy's camp and what you can have back through Jesus. Joel 2:25 says, "So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten." And there's so many people who mock faith. There's so many people who think it's so radical to just take God at his word. I don't think it's radical. God's word tells me to have a childlike faith, to know that he's going to work everything all together. I don't know how, I don't know what it's going to look like, but I know. I remain confident in this. So I want you to just think about what's in the enemy's camp that rightfully belongs to you. And then I want to go back to 1 Samuel 30, the very end. I felt like this was specifically for somebody today. I have an idea who it is, but maybe it's for more than just that one person. When David went to go to the enemy's camp, remember the 200 men that were so tired, so exhausted, they couldn't go. This word is for you. If you have been, I can't fight. I can't believe God. I can't stand on his promises. I'm so tired of fighting. I'm so tired of like feeling like the storms are just coming and coming and coming, and I don't even get to lift my head up out of the water for a moment. This word is for you. Verse 21, then David returned to the brook Besor and met up with the 200 men who had been left behind because they were too exhausted to go with him. They went out to meet David and his men, and David greeted them joyfully. But some evil troublemakers among David's men said, they didn't go with us, so they can't have any of the plunder we recovered. Give them their wives and their children and tell them to be gone. But David said, no, my brothers, don't be selfish with what the Lord has given us. He has kept us safe. He's helped us defeat the band of raiders that attacked us. Who will listen when you talk like this? We share and share alike, those who go to battle and those who guard the equipment. And from then on, David made this a decree and a regulation for Israel, and it is still followed to today. I have a word for you if you are just exhausted from the fight, just exhausted from guarding your boundaries, from all the storms that are coming at you, all the attacks of the enemy, all the darts. If you're too tired to go with us, we're here for you. You get to share. Jesus did it. It wasn't me. It wasn't you. He shares. We get to share in his victory. I hope that speaks to somebody today, because we're a body. And when someone's struggling, we come around them. We don't say, you didn't go, so you don't get anything. Right? We're in this together. I want to invite you to the altar. If you have something in the enemy's camp, maybe it's a child, maybe it's a prodigal that you've been believing for, maybe it's health related, it's financial, like it's finance related. And I want you to come to the altar if you're just tired, if you're just exhausted, you couldn't even go with them to the enemy's camp. You're just too tired. We're here to come alongside you. We're here to pray for you. Would you come now if you need prayer? If you just need to sit at Jesus' feet and consult him and ask him, should I go? Should I go after them? Will I recover everything? This is a type and shadow. This is who Jesus is. This is what he does. Nothing is missing, small or great. Maybe your joy is escaping you. Maybe peace is not present in your home, in your heart. I just invite you to come now. Let him speak to you. Let him give you the words you need to hear. It all belongs to you in Jesus. Through Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we recognize where our tent pegs have moved, where it feels like the enemy is closing in and he's gaining ground and we're losing ground. But we know through Jesus, we have everything we need. We know through Jesus we can recover it all, nothing missing, small or great. Thank you for the peace that passes all understanding. Thank you for the joy of the Lord that's our strength. Thank you, Lord, that the influence of the church will grow. It will not dwindle in these last days. It will grow. Thank you that you've given us the weapons we need to preserve our boundaries, the weapons we need to defeat the enemy, to resist the enemy. You've given us your word, your name, your promises that are yes in Jesus and amen. Amen. Your purposes, your plans are good. You want your children to reign in life. Come on, today is the day. Stand in the gap for your prodigal. Stand in the gap for the ways that the enemy has stolen from you financially. It's violence against the kingdom. We won't stand for it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just encourage you, if you are sitting in your seat and you're okay, nothing really comes to mind, maybe gather around somebody who really needs you. Maybe they're exhausted from the battle. Maybe they're exhausted and they couldn't go on. And they need your prayers. They need your support. They need your encouragement. They need you to speak words of life over them today, so that we can all share in Jesus's victory. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by his spirit. I couldn't earn it. I couldn't fight for it on my own. It's through him that I recover all. Nothing missing. Nothing lacking. Father, would you just meet us here at the altar today? Give us a word from you, God, to stand on. Give us the words we need to hear, God, to continue on. This was a tough year for us, but I'm standing. I made it. Anybody hear that song? I made it. Because of Jesus, because he sustained me, because he held me. I just encourage you for a few moments, don't check out. Let God speak to you. He's a God who speaks. Lord, would you restore the years that the locusts have stolen? Would you restore relationships, God? Help us to put all of our trust and our hope in you. Help us to see your goodness in the land of the living. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for